Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White, also known as the Zany Mystic. Tonight's guest is Amaya Victoria. Amaya was born with highly advanced intuitive abilities. From early childhood, she saw spirits and knew of coming events before they happened. Growing up in a dysfunctional family, however, left its mark. She now sees her childhood as a gift without which she might not have searched for deeper meaning into her life. Since 1988, Amaya has worked full-time as a healer, channel, teacher, and counselor. She is certified in Gestalt therapy, rebirthing, hypnotherapy, and energy healing body work. These range of tools, in addition to her own natural talents, help people release stored pain and come into wholeness and joy. So it's with great joy that I welcome Amaya to the show now. Hi, Amaya. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing really well. Zany Mystic.
You can call me Lance or Zany or whatever you want. I don't care.
It's not late for dinner, right?
Yes, exactly. You know, when I read your account here, what intrigued me the most was when you were in a kid, you saw spirits, and you knew of coming events before they happened. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, you know, when I was little, actually, I am with my mother written up in a medical journal somewhere because I was born with a twin that didn't develop after 5 months in utero and placenta previa, meaning the placenta came first.
Uh-huh.
I was born in 1956 with 3 pounds, 2 ounces, and they really didn't expect me to live. I was the size of the palm of a woman's hand.
Wow.
And they fed me with a eyedropper. And so I think I was a miracle right from the beginning. Out of the process of either the birth process or in being in the incubator, I wound up with cerebral palsy. I spent my childhood in leg braces at night.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I would complain to my mother to get the people out of my room.
Huh.
I would go to sleep at night and close my eyes, and there'd be all these people standing around the bed. I love the fact that the movie The Sixth Sense finally came out.
Yeah.
Because it has saved me a lot of time of trying to explain who I am. There was one particular soul. She would stand behind my window, and when I closed my eyes in my mind's eye, I would see her, and she was not a very pretty picture. I know now that she was an earthbound soul.
Uh-huh.
At that time, I didn't know. I used to call her the witch in the window, and my mother would pick up the pull-down shade and say, "See, there's no one there," but I would cry hysterically. Went on for a very, very long time.
Were some of them, when you said she wasn't a very pretty picture, were some of these people disfigured in some way, or?
To me, she was very ugly-looking.
Yeah.
Very old and very ugly-looking.
Huh.
Now, that could have been just because she was old when she passed.
Yeah,
and I was young, 2, 3, 4 years old. Or it could be that when she passed, she had passed from a lifetime where she was carrying a lot of stuff, quote-unquote, that made her appear very ugly to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that could happen.
All I know is it frightened me. Yeah.
There's some people walking around today that frighten me.
Yes. Yes,
so,
and God bless them, and you know, that's why the paradigm has got to shift now.
Oh,
really.
Yes. Yes,
really.
And I want to get into that too, but so go on. So this was at about 2 or 3 then.
Yep, I would say maybe four or five years old. You know, I'm not good with time and days anyway. I lose days. Some of my clients, I'll say, well, you know, we've been together for 2 years, and they'll get really quiet and they go, it's been 3 or 4, and I'm like, oh, your time sure flies whether we're having fun or not, you know. So I'm not really good with time. So I think I was young, but old enough to verbalize
the
witch in the window. I was able to speak and talk, and I had a larger vocabulary than a real young child would have. So maybe I was 3 to 5, somewhere in there.
Okay.
3 to 7. And so I would complain to my mother, and of course, being who she was, and I found out later that both sides of my family are very intuitive. My father's very intuitive in his own way.
Uh-huh.
My mother and my grandmother on my mother's side were highly intuitive beings, and so she, though, would be very logical and assure me there was no one in the room.
Huh.
And of course, to me, they were as real as anyone I meet on the street.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and if I had been born into a tribe or into an indigenous village, I would have been spotted at that age and taken from my family and initiated for 20-some years to be a medicine woman.
That's right.
Because of my gifts.
That's right.
And
that's right.
One of my teachers told me that years ago, and I must have blanched, because he said, you know, the initiation process is not easy. You're like put into a raging ice-cold river up to your neck to stand on your toes to learn endurance.
Uh-huh.
And every time you come down off your toes, someone will whip you across your back to get
wow.
you back up on your toes, because it's a
wow.
warrior's way. And I must
yeah.
have gotten white, and he said, don't worry, your life gave you all that already. And I started, I just smiled like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I don't know if I
yeah.
could go through another 25 years, because people may not realize, first of all, God tends to pick those who have lived through a lot
uh-huh.
to be the ones to help others come through it. And so
yeah.
there's been a cost, quote unquote, for my work, my gift. And yet I wouldn't trade it in for the world, because I get to do what I love to do. I get to do what's my heart's desire and then some. I'm eager to get on with the next levels of my work, however that's going to look.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a child, my mother told me I would come out and tell her things and they would come true. I don't remember that part. I don't remember that part. I do know that I was different than other children. I do know I was highly sensitive, both intuitively as well as emotionally. I was thin-skinned, as my grandmother would call me.
Would you say that you had a lot of empathic abilities?
Yes, I still do.
Yeah, me too.
I have very deep empathic abilities. I've been indigenously trained empathetically, so I no one taught me to burp when someone was discharging or gag and spit stuff up. That just started happening once I was with my teachers. I'm very empathetic. I can feel people's feelings. I can hear their thoughts. I've had to teach myself not to do that. I came in very open and very developed.
Wow.
I had to learn to close it down, because in my earlier years, I'm in my 50s now, so in my early 20s, I waitressed for many years, and I remember walking by a gentleman at the counter, and it almost knocked me over, the suffering he was carrying.
Wow.
And that was before I met my first teacher, and I didn't realize I had to protect myself.
Uh-huh.
Given the work I've done on myself, I still protect myself. I take a lot of hot baths at night, and I certainly pray while I'm working, and I sage and use incense and sound, but I'm not that sticky, so there's not a lot that adheres to me.
Yeah,
it
you're
just goes
like
right on through.
Line.
Yeah,
but you do
right.
feel it. You do
oh,
feel
I
it
do.
Well. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you know, I do, and I have a deep, compassionate nature, and I've always been that way, so it's hard for me. I have to literally practice every day to detach while I'm working with people, because it's really, I don't get to vote. I'm just that bridge.
Yep,
you know?
That's right.
So I've had to learn to detach with my work, and I'm still not real good at it many days,
wow.
you know.
Well, so now, did you continue to see spirits on into your teens and all that,
no.
or did that kind of
when I was
fade
about
out?
About 7 years old, the cord with the mother snaps. We're corded
okay.
to our mother till about 7 years old.
Oh, I didn't
and about,
know that.
Yeah, yeah. And at 7 years old, when the cord snapped, I thought everybody worked the way I did. I would feel things about people. I would hear their thoughts. I would occasionally see spirit, but not like I had.
Uh-huh.
And then the real work began. You know, that cord snapped, and my gifts went more inward. I had dreams that were precognitive. For years, I dreamed about the Challenger coming down and crashing. I was in my first marriage at the time, and for years, and every time a Challenger would go up, I would say something about it, and it was, years later it crashed.
Wow.
The night before John Lennon died, I dreamt the world was crying, and I couldn't figure out why.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I've always had very deep precognitive dreams. The more I'm active as a healer, I don't have those dreams as much. It seems to have shifted for me. Just like I used to work a lot with earthbound spirit, but I don't do that as much anymore. I do other, you know, my work is shifting again. So about 7 years old, that began to slow down because I, like many, chose to be born in a family which we call dysfunctional.
Okay.
And so I had to then really come to Earth and live through Hades for a very long time.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Very long time.
Me too.
And all I could do was barely keep my head above water, metaphorically.
Yeah, I walked on eggshells around my parents.
Yep, yep. And so, you know, like many, many, I was born into a family of active alcoholism.
Yeah,
And even though the one parent who was an active alcoholic did eventually go into recovery, it was like a little too late for me. The damage was already
right.
done, big time.
Right, too late.
Yeah, and yet looking back on it, every step I take now in my own healing work on myself, because I continue to do that, I'll probably need it for the rest of my life. Besides that, I got to keep ahead of the people I'm working with. So, you know, I got to keep evolving here, and I want to. I want to go all the way to the top of the spiral before I leave here. I love the thought of evolution. It just makes me so excited, the thought of going beyond a place of explanation. I don't know why, you know?
Yeah, me too. Kind of like wondering what's around the next bend, and just kind of you keep going and you keep looking for that.
Right, right. And with that comes a cost. To do that, your frequency has to come up. That means I can't be carrying a speck of dirt in me.
Right.
The work that I do and the work I'm coming to do forward in my life. So one of my parents was actively alcoholic. My other parent was actively very angry.
Yeah.
And so I grew up in a household that was really filled with a lot of pain and suffering for all of us.
Yeah,
I have two younger siblings, and I left that household, and then in school I got picked on, and I was told many things, including ugly, and I'm not. But I still don't believe it. I'm not. But that's what I was called. And, you know, I didn't suddenly get pretty. I was born with my mother's side of the family, their looks, you know.
Uh-huh.
So my father would probably kill me if he heard that, because he said I look like his side, too. But I do look like my mother's side of the family. And so I spent years in severe dysfunction inside myself. It didn't matter that my parents divorced or that one of my parents went to recovery. It none of that mattered. Inside, I was living through the dysfunction again and again. And you know, we pattern out constantly until we get help.
Yeah.
And like everyone else, I had a human life. I married, had two children, and thank God for my first husband, because I wound up in therapy.
As a result of your first
husband? As a result of that marriage. And me freaking out over something that was happening for him. And he said to me, if you don't go get help, I'm going to take you to a mental institution. And I went and got help. And it set me on my path of my own quote-unquote recovery, and therefore my spiritual awakening. Around that same time, it was about 1977, I think it was, I met my first spiritual teacher, Evelyn Isidore, who's no longer of this world.
Okay.
And she loved me like she was the first person on this planet to love me without judgment.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And she told me that I had things to do here, and it scared the pants off of me.
Uh-huh.
Because I knew, when I was 15 years old, I picked up my first book on reincarnation, and I knew there was something bigger for me here.
Yeah,
but to be told that in a fractured state, I didn't know what to do with that. And so that began my process that's led me to here, to speaking to you on the phone, you know. There are so many stories and so many steps, and as one of my teachers said, you'll get to a place that every step will be a prayer, and that's exactly where I am now. Every one of my steps is a prayer. For myself or for someone else.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, then you met your first spiritual teacher, and then you began working on healing yourself, I would guess.
Yes. Yes, I picked up my first book on spirituality when I was 15. Books and music saved me from my childhood.
Yeah, me too.
Thank God for reading and music. I still love music. My friends are all amazed because I know all the words on the songs. I music I have, I'm looking at right now a portrait, a soul portrait on my wall that was done for me in 1998, I think it was, or 1993, by a woman named Sandra Dolan, who I later found out was my second cousin on my father's side.
Huh.
I had no idea when I went to her, and she said to me, I really hate to put too much color in this picture. It's of my face, because you're almost pure white.
Really?
You know? And so, isn't that interesting? So I'm looking right at it, and under it says, music fills the soul. Music, to me, it goes somewhere in me. I'm a drummer by nature. I have a frame drum. I was in a drumming consciousness group for 2 years.
Wow.
I use my drum as a healing instrument. I just did a large group the other night introducing myself to Florida because I just moved here into this area in Florida. It turned out the people I was in front of who ran the group, I met 15 years ago, no, 11 years ago. It'll be 11 years ago. What is it? 11 years ago on March something, I met them in New Jersey by the same gentleman who just sent them channeled information again, and they called me. And so I had my drum out, and I was just, that drum was just taking the room to another place. It was almost like we were lifting off.
Wow.
If you go to my website, you'll see there's my frame drum sitting right in my lap.
Wow.
You know?
I love it.
Yeah, so I am a drummer by trade.
Huh.
And music fills my heart and soul. There's artists on both sides of my family, but my art is the healing arts. That's my art. And I can do fine art, but not, I'm not a Picasso, and I'm not certainly a Rembrandt or anything like that at all. But in my vision quest, I did a shield for myself, and it was really a unique piece of art.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, now, when you began, when did you start healing others?
When I was 15, when I got picked up my first book on reincarnation, or it was actually Ruth Montgomery's book.
Oh, I love those.
Ford. I forget the name of her teacher. Something Ford. She was channeling him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was reading one of the astrologers in the paper, Anne something. She put something in every day. So that's who I want to be like. That's what I want. But I had to wait. So I was about 25 to get it. And from 15 to 25, I read everything I could get my hands on. And the universe will say yes to us on almost everything, except if it's not for the highest good. So I would go into secondhand bookstores because I did not have a great deal of money at the time. And I've come full circle with that now, as we all have, I think. And, and so I would get all these spiritual books, and I would just read them.
Oh, yeah.
And then I met Evelyn. A woman was living at my mother's house, who put a reader's card down on the table, and I had just, and I, as she was leaving the room, I said something to her, and I had just had a reading done the day before, who said I would meet a woman and we would have a powerful relationship. We're still friends to this day, and she is 20 years my senior, or 15 years my senior, and we're still friends to this day, and she really helped open the door, and we met Evelyn together, and it was with Evelyn that I began to feel like I could, quote-unquote, channel, and it scared me. I refused them at first. I could feel spirit moving around the circle, and they would stop behind me, and it scared me.
Uh-huh.
Because as far as I was concerned, and, you know, we're talking the late 70s, early 80s, and it wasn't out there, and I rued the tapes. I rued the tapes that I threw away that I channeled that this was coming.
Yeah.
You know, I channeled this was coming. And so I was really frightened. I was just insane.
Huh.
So I began to channel in this group with 25 other women. I was the youngest of the group. And at first my channeling was very halting, and my eyes were closed. And I was very conscious. I wanted to control everything. And unbeknownst to me, Archangel Michael cleared me. He never said he was Archangel Michael. He just said, "This is Michael. I'm clearing the channel. The group will be here shortly."
Oh.
And he would talk for a few minutes, and then the group would come through, and you could hear the group practicing through me.
Huh.
And so my work didn't begin till a year or so after that with people. Because one thing Evelyn did teach me, amongst many things, was you really had to work on yourself, because these were people's lives that were in your hands.
Oh,
and I really took that to heart.
Yeah.
You know, this is not a cartoon. This is life. This is real.
Right.
We may get many times, but this is what we've got right now. And so I was thrown out there early, about 26, 27 years old. So I was healing myself as along with healing others.
Wow.
And I'm one of the bigger generators. I can do it. I can do it. But it was quite a difficult task. It took a lot of effort.
Uh-huh. What were some of your early healing techniques, and did you have any metaphysical experiences during that process?
My goodness, it's such a long time ago. It seems like centuries to me. And I know it's like 20-some years, but it seems like centuries ago. My healing technique started just with the tarot cards. That's how I came into all this. And I got to a place with the cards where I would say something and not know why I was saying it. Or I could feel my body shift.
And then
my voice would change a little bit. My healing techniques at the beginning were just pure laying on hands and just talking with whatever I was hearing at the time. I eventually got trained in rebirthing work and hypnosis and Reiki, but actually I was doing all that stuff before I knew the names of it. Polarity before I knew the name of it. I was doing cranial sacral before I knew the name of it. The work I do, I'm a trained Gestalt therapist. I'm also a trained therapist. I'm very good with the inner child stuff. I'm very good with getting into people, and I look at someone, I see their beauty, and then I see everything that needs to be taken care of.
And somehow
I get into their cells, and we just break stuff up. And then I don't see them. Many of my clients I do this with over the phone, I've never met them personally.
Oh, wow.
You know, one of my clients was kidding me and said, you know, so-and-so and I were talking. We think we're going to come out and visit you in Florida because she lives down there. I said, wouldn't that be a kick? All these years I've been working with both of you, and I've never seen your faces.
Nah. Of course, it isn't necessary to be
in the room. I can just look into them and know what's going on.
Yeah, interesting.
So what are my healing modalities? I have something called somatic emotional technique. And what that means is our bodies somatize what I'm breaking up sometimes. Sometimes you have emotional release. Sometimes you have physical release. I have some people right now who are in physical crisis, and I keep telling them it's okay. You're just discharging. Just hold on. The body never lies. It's just getting rid of the stuff that would take you out if you didn't heal. Because we are on a great path on this place, and we're in a great time. This is an important time. It's hard, it's scary, but it's real important.
Well, now, let's talk about that. How do you see that? I mean, I do a lot of interviews with people who are focused on the 2012 and the prophecies and the shift in consciousness and the coming energies and so on and so forth. What's your experience of all of that, and why are these important times?
That's a good question. See, I don't look that far ahead. I do when people ask me to, and Isaiah, the group I channel, does. And maybe we'll let them talk a little bit before we get off the phone tonight.
Oh, that'd be nice.
They'll have some words. Wouldn't that be great? And
yeah,
I don't look that far ahead. I really try to live in the moment, except when I get into my own head over my own stuff. You know, Buddha says the mind never lives in the moment. It either regrets the past or fears the future.
Right.
You know?
And pisses on the moment.
And this is
that's
on the moment.
They say in 12-step program.
That's right. Right? Be here now, like Ram Dass
would
say. You know? And
that's
so,
right.
And the 12-step programs really do, they talk about living in the moment. I mean, those programs had to be divinely presented.
Oh, yeah.
Because
absolutely.
They're really based on absolutely everything we call metaphysical and New Age. And I don't know what's New Age about it. Isaiah says it all the time. What's the New Age about this? This has been going on for eons. There's nothing new age. There's nothing at all. You're just coming full circle, that's all. And this planet has tried to do this four times, and this time they believe we're going to be able to do it. And we are in the times now. You know, we don't have to look. I don't have to look to 2012 to know that we're in the great changes.
Uh-huh.
I channeled for the last 5 to 7 years that Isaiah would say, you know, you're going to be lighting your homes and your fireplaces with your money. It's not going to be worth much. And I didn't even take it to heart. And here we are sitting there, each and every one of us, with every money issue we've got hit the surface.
Well, you know what's funny?
The paradigm has got to shift.
Yeah, my father said that 45 years ago.
Well, God bless him. He's a wise man.
You know, well, I guess I must have chosen being born to the right family. Even through the alcoholism, that was one of the things I remember. He used to just pretend like he was using dollar bills for toilet paper, and he would say, the money's worthless. And he said, the Bilderbergs own the world.
That's
and I
right.
didn't know what he was talking about, but then, you know, five or 6 years ago, I got in line, and there were the Bilderbergs, the wealthiest people in the world. You know,
right, and, you know, without, and we can't, you know, I don't like to get too negative, but I will say this. I don't even like the word negative. I will say this much, but I don't like to make it outside myself because I believe I'm part of the whole creation.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
just talking to a friend on the phone, I think it was today or yesterday, and they said, you know, of course it's all going to collapse because whoever set this in motion years ago so that they could take over, because I don't read the news and I don't read the newspaper. Maybe I should a little bit now because I didn't realize that they're really talking now again, the government, about taking over the banks.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was set into play generations ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's now catching
yeah.
up with us. But at the higher point of this is it's going to teach us to really come back to what the indigenous people knew to be true, that we're all connected.
Yes.
And also then teach us all how to do prosperity without
yeah.
greed and without separation.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
take care of each other in a healthy way.
Yep. Yep, exactly. I agree with you. I mean, I've been saying that the monetary system has to collapse because if it doesn't, we'll have to pull the plug on it just so that we can go through the cleansing and the shifting that we need to go through of letting go of a material kind of existence.
Well, really,
you know,
letting go of the issues behind the material existence. That's my belief. Because
okay.
we live in the material world. We have to
right.
eat, sleep, drink, and have a roof over our heads. You know, if nothing
right.
else. You know,
right.
this last year I was stripped down once again. This is the third time for me. Three may be the charm, hopefully. Of everything.
Yeah.
I lost everything. Everything
yeah.
went.
Yeah.
I lost everything. But except myself.
Yeah.
And you know what I learned? I learned it's all just stuff. It's all just
yeah.
stuff.
It's all just stuff, exactly.
It's all just
it's
stuff,
all
and
just
it can
stuff.
All be replaced. And it's all being replaced now.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Yeah.
I don't mean to be a forebearer of bad news, but I don't think we've seen the worst of it yet.
Oh, not even the tip of the iceberg.
No, I think we're just at the tip, and I do believe those of us who have come to help, really help, we're being forced to clean up our acts big time because the day of the wounded healer is done.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
done, and
yeah.
we have got to get in places. Now, every level has its healers,
mm-hmm.
but certain levels of consciousness won't be able to stay here, not for where the earth is going, and not for the agreements. And yet I don't believe anything's wasted. I think we're all learning, and even those that will pass on, because I think a large majority may,
mm-hmm.
they're going to go having done centuries of work in one lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
What more could
mm-hmm.
you ask for, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Really? So
absolutely.
When I started my work on myself when I was 25. I started working with others when I was about 27, 26, 27. My work has evolved. And I'm closer to that place of being really standing in a place where I can just love people. You know, I woke up the other morning, and I thought this several months ago because a client in California was having a hard time with me, and I wanted a knee-jerk response from my human place, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I thought, wait a minute. Unhealed ego has no place in true love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it really doesn't. I woke up the other day, and I thought, I wonder if that's the name of my book. You know,
oh.
I wonder if that's because I really want to write a book. I have several books in me. I have a book about my life.
Oh,
you know,
good.
You know, something I'm not going to talk to the radio about. But you know, things have happened to me. I have been abused on every level.
Wow.
I've been mentally, emotionally, sexually, physically, energetically. I don't know what else abused in this lifetime. And then I got the help I needed, and it's taken me a long time to come through it. And thankfully, we're moving fast enough that. Those that are working on themselves now are going to be moving faster through it.
Yes.
And we're doing the ancestral work. We're doing past life work because this place is supposed to become a light, a star, you know?
Right,
and if
right.
And we're going to be at that frequency, we have to be pretty clean, those of us that are staying.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I think what you're saying about your own experiences is, especially during my generation, I'm 59, is a very common experience, and there were so many decades when people just wouldn't say anything because they didn't want to be exposed. They thought they were the only ones, but the more it comes out, the more people realize that this is happening to everybody. They don't call them bedroom communities for nothing, you know.
Right.
There's
right.
a lot going on in those bedroom communities that nobody's talking about, and it's time to get that stuff up and out.
Well,
seek help for your, for the abuse, and get out of those situations that are causing pain, and emotional, physical, or sexual pain, and leave
right.
them.
Right.
You know,
well,
so, and
we have
still
to look at the fact of agreements. We have to look at the fact of fear-basedness and evolution,
right,
and what people can and cannot do. The thing is that everything that's unknown, unseen, unforgiven, unremembered is all being brought to light. There's very little that's being held in the dark now, and that's why all heck's breaking loose, because our governments can't get away with it. We can't get away with it. The universe demands integrity from all of us.
Yes, and I love it.
Whatever degree we can do it, the universe, and we're in a big push now. And you asked me about 2012. I don't know if that's going to be the end of our society. I know that's when the calendar absolutely stops. I know that's when they put in a computer and it doesn't go past 2012. It won't.
Yeah.
It stopped in 2012. I don't know what that means. I do know that the way we've been living here will change, and it is changing.
Well, it has to. It has to, because I mean,
well,
look
our
at...
Our hearts are different. Our hearts are... Yeah. It's our prayer that's making this change, really.
Yeah.
And the divine grace and mercy of whatever we want to call that, that governs and loves us. You know,
well, and don't you... Do you find that people are waking up more... rather than being so asleep and kind of conditioned by the... By the television and news and the
I think that a larger amount than ever before is. I mean, I still see people who are still in the dark, and I don't know, maybe that's surpassed in this lifetime. But you know what I was going to say is the song, the Beatles song, "Look at All the Lonely People." That was in my head the other day, but I was looking at people and I wanted to cry because all I could do was see their beauty.
I
saw the other stuff, but I saw the want. I saw who they really were. You know, I live in a townhouse complex right now, and there's a family that lives catty-corner to me, and the woman's face is filled with so much kindness.
Oh.
And I sometimes wonder if she even knows it's there. Even though she shows a lot of it, I wonder if she even knows how kind she really is. And maybe she shouldn't, so egotistically she doesn't get involved with it.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's there, and And people really are beautiful. They've just been, God, we have been beat up here, and now it's just time to stop doing it. Spirit says to me all the time, if you could see yourself through our eyes, you would never hate each other. You couldn't.
Right, right.
It would be so sacrilegious.
Right, right. But we don't yet see. We see through a glass darkly.
Yes.
But
that's happening. That's changing. Eckhart Tolle? Tolle? I mean, his work has been phenomenal. That last book I hear, and then Oprah having that whole class, there was, thousands, millions, billions of people online at one time. That is great news.
Yes, it is great news.
Great news.
It really is.
To be on the internet with you, I mean, you're not the first show I've been on. To have people, I don't know who's listening or who's not.
I don't either.
Maybe, nobody's listening but you and I, but who knows? You know?
Well, you know, our vibration is here, and it's a high one, and we're synergistically creating a frequency that people can tune into. And I know people feel it because I've had people write to me and say, well, gee, you know, I could feel the connection between you two, and I could feel the synergy. And, you know, I think that as you and I talk, no matter what we talk about, we are in the healing process, and we're doing
it. Correct. That's right.
You know,
for ourselves and for the world.
And for the world.
Everyone said to me, find the common ground. It doesn't matter who the person is. To be a true keeper of the light, you find the common ground. And it's such a simple statement and sometimes so difficult to do. One of my other teachers looked at me one day, and we're sitting around waiting for the stones to get hot for a sweat lodge, and he said, you know, I wanted to put a shingle out. I want to be a great healer in this world. And all I kept getting from my teachers was, just become a good person.
Right.
I was like, oh, yeah, right. You know, I'm very skeptical. I don't know how spirit ever got through to me. I don't even know how I do this work. I'm such a skeptic some days.
That's funny.
He looked at me when he said that, and I got it. I got it about 6 months later. I was doing something in the kitchen, and it clicked. But, of course, if I'm filled with goodness, won't that overflow, and isn't that really the healing process?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's wanting to be great. I mean, there's a certain innocent wanting to be great, and then there's also an egoic wanting to be great. And we're already great. We're great when we're authentically living and expressing ourselves truly.
Yes, and, you know,
and that's,
I heard,
you know,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, that comes from love and compassion and like you said, being empathically connected to other people and sensing what they need.
The most daunting task we all have right now is to love ourselves.
Oh, absolutely right.
The most daunting task for human souls.
Yes, absolutely.
To find our humanity with our soul and love ourselves for being human. You know, human nature is beautiful. It's the human condition, the human suffering that's got us all tangled up right now.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. And
but
I
think that's one of the daunting.
I am one of the hardest critics on myself. And do you find that when people come to you for healing, they are just constantly negating themselves and I'm so bad and I can't do this and I can't
do
that?
One of the most common core issues is not being worthy.
Yes.
I hear that all the time. That's what I went to my healers with. Not being worthy.
Not being worthy.
And I say, how can that be true? It's technically impossible. It had to be the issues brought down through the generations. But did I know that subconsciously? No. Do you know that subconsciously? No.
No.
You know, I had to work on that inner critic.
I have had
to
work
on it,
too. And there's some
I had to let myself alone. I still do. Thank God I have friends around me who aren't afraid to, like, get strong with me when I'm back there in that place just running the wheel, you know, like a hamster on a wheel.
Running your racket, yeah.
Yeah, running that racket again. And, you know, the committee's off and running, and I'm agreeing with them. Down the road somewhere. It doesn't make me feel so good, and it freezes me.
Yeah.
For all of you out there, I tell you, number one, we are innocent. We haven't done all innocent things. No, we're human. You know, except for those out there who are really malicious. For all of us, we really don't have malicious intent. It's just that we're human. So sometimes we have resentment. We want others to suffer because they hurt us. But you know, that's human. That's human, and that could be healed. But we're innocent, and I remember one of my teachers saying to someone else in a group, I was sitting in the group, looking at him and saying, you're important. And the other person went, yes, but, and he said, no, you're important. In the scheme of things, you're important. Everybody's important, whether it's you and I talking on the radio or me going to the top of the mountain being the best, you know, the omnipotent Amaya, which is very doubtful because I still put out the trash and clean out the cat litter box. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's like the other night I did this great group and I got a friend on the phone. I said, well, going home to take out the trash, clean out the cat litter box and tie up the boxes and put them out for the dumpster tomorrow. Back to Earth I come.
Yeah,
the great omnipotent Oz is back to Earth again.
Well, it's kind of like the Zen adage, you know, what does the Zen master do when he's enlightened? He chops wood and carries water.
Carries water. That's right.
You know, and so there is no task too small for us to do because it's all a holy spiritual movement. And I really love what you said about learning to love ourselves because that really is the big bugaboo. You know, I see people loving their animals and cats and stuff, and I think, if they could just give themselves a tenth of the love that they express for their loved ones and their friends, they would just shine, you know. But then I you know, they pick themselves apart, and I'm not worthy, and blah blah blah, and you know, all that stuff has to come up and be released because we are worthy and we do make a difference.
That's right.
We wouldn't be
each
here.
Every one of us, every
each
breath,
and every one,
each
no
and every one of us. I don't care what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know, if it wasn't for the trash people, where would my trash go? I'd be living with trash everywhere. You know? And I don't know. I was told by my teacher that we don't know. The trash man might be an ascended master. How do I know?
Exactly. He might be so far above us that we should be at his feet worshiping.
That's right. It just might be a lifetime of really picking up the trash. Literally, metaphorically, you know, and yet doesn't mean he's not evolved. I mean, I've talked to people because I've had all walks. People say, you know, when people are trying to market me, they say, so what is your market? You know, and I'm looking at them with my mouth. I'm like, everybody? I get all walks of life through my door. People I would never expect to walk through my door or call me on the phone and say, I need your help. So, you know, I don't have just a market. A mainstream market.
The human being is your market.
That's right. Yeah, humanity. Christmas Carol. I love the Christmas Carol. It's my favorite movie. When he says to Marley, says he yells, he says, "No, the human being should have been my whatever he says, my concern."
Huh.
Human beings, you know, and it just takes one moment to catch your breath and not react from an old place. That's how we can shift this paradigm without having to drag it out and suffer so through it.
Yeah.
But then again,
yeah.
I just kind of got rapped a little on the head by spirit, like, hey, you don't know how long this needs to go on or why. I don't. And I try not to look at it too hard because that's not my place.
Yeah.
I'm just here to help the river keep flowing, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I feel the same way.
So,
and,
but, you know, if we can just catch ourselves the next time we want to respond to someone who's hurt us or we want to snap back, just take a breath.
Yeah.
And just say nothing or rephrase it. Or sometimes anger is necessary. Even Christ used anger to clear the temple.
Well, that's true.
Healthy anger is not... I don't ascribe to the New Age stuff that you're not supposed to ever be angry. Nonsense.
Oh, I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
You have to have a healthy range of emotions.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Let it out, let it up, and move on. Release it.
That's right. That's right.
Right. What are some of the common problems that you find arriving at your doorstep for healing these days?
It's
is there
all... the commonality that I'm finding for people, it's always been about the wound. You know, that's the commonality,
yeah,
the wound
yeah.
we carry. But the I'm trying to think lately what the commonality has been with people. Because many times when I'm working on someone with body work, I don't remember what we did afterwards. I don't remember what was shifted or what was let go of.
Uh-huh.
But the commonality, somebody's discharging on somewhere out there, because if I burp, that means, and it's not because I just ate. Somebody
right,
let go of something big time.
Oh, good. Good.
The commonality is all around the heart area.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It seems to be either anger or grief. Those are the two places I'm walking into with people.
Uh-huh.
And that feeling of unworthiness that keeps coming up for people with me.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe I'm looking at myself. I don't know, but, you know, it keeps coming up. And, it came up twice, once each day in the last couple of days. And, I said to these people, I said, can you perhaps look at it that it was your parents' issue, that it's technically impossible for you not to be worthy? And they just brought it down, and we're just doing all the ancestral work, and it's never been yours to begin with?
Right, right.
God knows what else we're doing it, because,
you know,
there's different beliefs on this planet, and one of the beliefs is what? That, just delete, delete, delete. And I don't go for that. I think all the bodies need to be cleansed, the mental, the emotional, the physical.
Yeah.
I think you do have to train the small mind not to run to the negative stuff and start using it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's all different beliefs on this planet. And like Christ said, in my Father's house, there's many mansions. Well, in paraphrasing that, that means everybody's got a right to their own reality.
Yeah, yes, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And, of course, that removes judgment, because once we allow everybody to have their own reality, then we're not so busy poking our nose into why they're not doing what we think they should be doing.
Right, and that starts dealing with the control issue.
Yeah,
and getting us to surrender. One of my healers, boy, for the years I went to him, he would look at me, and every time I saw him, he said, well, you know, it's about surrender. And after a while, I used to say, oh, no, the S word. You know, for a control freak like me, that was the worst nightmare. And I'm learning it. I'm learning it. And he said, if someone says they've surrendered, they most likely have not. Because the people who have surrendered, you see it in their lives. They just live in the moment.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, when Isaiah works with you, do you know where Isaiah comes from and what group
they are?
If you
go to my MySpace, which I haven't been to in maybe 6 months to a year, somebody might email me and say, it's been over a year, because I just haven't gotten to it. But there is a blog there where they talk about, they didn't for years at all talk about themselves. They kept refusing anyone who asked, and even me, because they didn't want that. Because we like to box everything, you know, we have to make it something.
Yeah.
We have to have a backstory on things. And they kept saying, no, it's about you all and about the message.
Yeah.
That's all we care about. They finally started talking, because I was with one of my healers, and he said, do you know who you channel? And I was like, not really. He said, you should go ask. And I thought, yeah, but they haven't told me. And then I realized what he was saying to me, how big I was as a generator and who they really were. So I went, I said, do you want to tell me? They said, yes, we will. And they said, they come from 7 to 9 realities above us.
Okay.
And they lean down to us because we're coming up. And
wonderful.
They do it out of absolute love for the creation, whatever creation that may be in whatever reality.
Well,
and they're assigned to this, until it's done.
What is your MySpace website address?
www.myspace.com/either the Amaya Center or Amaya Center. I can't remember which one. I'm all over. I'm on Facebook. In fact, I'm having someone come over next week and help me learn how to use all these different sites and not burn myself out trying to use them all, you know, to get all my information out.
And then you can go to my website
and just go to my link page and go right from there to the site.
Okay. And that's www.amayacenter.com, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that people knew where to find you.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, so they're here to help us through the times until they are successful.
Until we finally light up enough that we realize we're our mentors, we're our masters, we're the angels.
Yes, yeah, exactly. You know, I totally get that. I just totally get that. And it is happening.
Oh, absolutely. It's happening, and I'm so happy. It's hard for everybody. So everybody out there, hear me. Everybody's going through the mill right now. It is hard for everybody. And it's because we're all the poisons we've been carrying are being squeezed out of us. And we can help it along without suppressing. You know, if you need to cry, cry. If you feel irritable or angry, don't hurt anybody with it, but write about it. Vent it. If you feel grief-stricken, if memories pop up, do something about it. Go get the help you need. There's too many modalities out there. There's no more excuses.
That's right.
You don't have the money. Right. People, you'll find places to get it for free or for minimum.
That's
little
right.
Reiki share and start there, you know?
Yeah.
Worked on.
That's right.
But it's time. It's time to move. It's as a community, as one being, because we're all one mind, one heart, one being. It's time to move together. And those who aren't supposed to will leave, and they just will leave. And we'll have to deal with that, those of us who stay. And they're doing us a great gift because they're taking a lot with them when they go. A great gift.
Do you see those who are leaving as, are you talking about the dark side, the negative polarity, or...
No, I'm talking about people who are passing on.
The
light and the dark has split. On my website, I put up an article, I don't know if it's still there, about when Bush came into office the second time and everybody was upset. And they said he was doing nothing but splitting the light and the dark. That's all he was doing.
Huh.
You know?
Well, that certainly seems like it worked. And, I mean, it feels like there's a major shift at this point. You know, between him and the way things are today.
Yep.
Do you ever find when you're getting into healing with somebody that some of the causes for this life's problems might be a bleed
past
through?
Life.
Yeah.
Yes.
you
past
picked that one right up, didn't
other
you?
Lifetimes, right. Or it might be one of their ancestors. It might be coming down genetically and DNA-wise.
Yeah.
And that has to be unwound. The work I do unwinds people. It breaks up the stuff they're carrying.
Stuckness. Yeah. What about spirits and attachments and things? Do you find much of that? There's some healers that do all kind of, you know, they say that you've got an attachment, there's a dark entity from 16 lifetimes
ago. I get that
occasionally. Oh.
Years ago it was more so I would go in the houses and clear them out. I would find things on people. I get that occasionally. I had one happen in an expo in Santa Fe where I literally told my assistant and the people standing around the booth to get back because I was going to release something from this woman. And when it went, it was almost like the roof rattled.
Wow.
So I get that occasionally, but not so much anymore. You know, I really get the people that really are on the path and on their way.
Yeah.
Really, really moving forward in their lives. I'm wondering, before we go, because I know we don't have much time, if you want Isaiah to come on through and see what they have to say.
I'd love it.
Or just talk to me.
No, I love it. What do you want me to do?
Nothing.
Okay.
You can listen. You can ask some questions, anything you want to ask them. They're saying
good.
To me, well, anything that you think the audience might want to hear.
Okay.
So I'm going to take a breath, and the rhythm and cadence of my speech will probably change given which member of the group will speak. It's a group entity with one speaker at a time. One voice at a time. I'm told my Philly, New York accent does not go away. Sorry.
That's
I'm a Philly girl. It stays.
We'll love you as you are.
Right. All right. So I'm going to just take a breath, and we're going to let Isaiah come on through.
Okay.
And so this evening we say, rest your weary heads easy. Part of the issue is you're both and all running like hamsters on a wheel, trying to make ends meet, trying to make sure everything's safe, and really frightened of the darkness that is metaphoric of the disease darkness, because there's a healthy darkness that cradles the light, but the disease darkness that seems to be attacking everything, which it is, and it's being pulled away, and of course, like any disease, it's holding on as hard as it can, and like a temperamental child is throwing a fit. So it's time, and part of the issue for all of you is you're not getting enough rest nor not enough sleep. Some of this, especially for those of you sensitive to energy, is because the energy levels are so high 24/7 right now. But at the same time, you must rest the physical body and allow yourself to go to the subconscious and dream states to cause and create an affect of healing. To cause and create an affect of, what shall we say, an affect of change, because the changes are here. And we come to you, this first speaker of a group of many, just to open the door so you get comfortable with our voice. Because what's behind us, or behind this voice, is a being who wants to come through, who has healing energy beyond what you've experienced. And we don't want to fry the wires and the airways to do this. So therefore, you, dear one, do you have any questions for yourself or for anyone else that you might think would have a question before we allow another message to come through from one member of a deep hierarchy that you yourself have been part of that just loves the earth but does not reside here and never has?
I will pass on the question, and I would like to just move forward to hear what the what he wants to say, or what he wants to say.
He, she, but we'll call he because it will feel like masculine, it'll feel strong, it'll feel like a push through the phone.
Okay.
Because we're going to help you, Lance.
Okay.
There's been an issue here that's long standing that won't go from your body. We're going to come in through the chest area, but it's going to go to the skin, cause the skin to heal and all eruptions and move through your body so that even at your age, your joints can go free again. You can get up on that horse and move fast, literally and metaphorically, because you have other things to do. You're still holding yourself too small as far as we are concerned.
Okay.
So just hold a minute. We're going to shift, and we're going to attempt to keep the energy down so it's not like yelling at you.
Okay.
Behold the beginning of a new time. This new age has never begun until now. The preempt of this was the last 12 years. And so now is the time for the new beginnings to occur. But this next year and the years thereafter, up to 7 years, will be the struggle to get rid of the fear of letting go of what is known and stepping into the quote-unquote darkness of the unknown, believing that the lights will come on and it will be what you all need, what is better for you, and what is really of sweetness and the divine. We, this group, I, myself, a new member of this group, having come from a hierarchy that needs translation into the physical words, because I am nothing more than pure energy, pure light, and pure love. And my name is not Archangel Michael. It is beyond the Archangel, the Seraphons, whatever hierarchy you've created here to make an understanding of universal law and universal experience. The truth is, it is all your higher selves with like strings down to all your different selves, because you have parallel lives, you have alternative lives, you have twin flames, soulmates, etc., etc. So that it's all that process of coming together in this place at this time for pure, undiluted healing and the acceptance that you can have prosperity, but you must feed each other and not turn your faces away. And so we bring to you a sound. Would it affect you, Lance, if we tone just for a moment, because we know we're almost at time to close?
Okay.
Blessed ones, your prayers have been heard. You will be helped. Cry the tears of despair, but let go and remember to embrace the heart that remembers and knows all is well, and that this too shall pass. That you call God, Goddess, I am that I am, Yahweh, Hare Krishna, etc., etc., Buddha, whatever name you give it, is here, now, and everything. You are of the creation is of you. Not one thing, not from one fabric or fiber of the carpet to the clouds in the sky, is not of the manifestation of prayer, thought, and what we will call creative God. Are there any questions, or we will take our leave? You know, we could talk for another hour, but the time runs short.
We could. You know, I'm going to have you back. we're so short on time. I think we're just going to have to say thank you.
You are quite welcome, and we will come back again. Let us make this a month or so.
Yes.
To come back again, and we will do the full 55 minutes, just you, the channel, and ourselves. Then we will do the talking. The channel can talk also. She has much to say. She's wise herself. But we'll have more time than 5 to 10 minutes here. Because healing must happen on this planet, and we want to bring it to as many people as we can through the airways. So we take our leave. We let the channel come back, and many blessings. And thank you, Mystic One, for helping.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm here.
Oh, wow. That was really cool. I like that. Different. Very different. Well, when I have you back, we'll spend a lot more time with them, and, of course, you'll be there, too.
Of course.
And, you know, they're interesting. I want more of that.
Yes, they're very interesting.
I don't know how the listeners will take it, but you know what? We get what we need. And,
that's right.
I think there was a lot of healing going on there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Amaya, we are just right. I've had so much fun talking to you tonight. I just can't thank you enough for sharing yourself with all of us and just being there authentically yourself and being real and just, you know, helping us all to get through these moments, because every little bit helps and everyone is important. So
yeah.
I thank you for coming onto the show.
Well,
and
thank
we'll
you
have
for having
you,
me.
I'll be in touch for our next date, which will be about a month from now.
Okay, good.
And if you want to just briefly mention your site again before we sign off.